Now you can feel like you're in the audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater with official Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise at ParamountShop.com. Shop t-shirts, mugs, accessories, and more. And Late Show Poncho listeners can take 20% off with code TLS20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show products with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome one and all to The Late Show. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. Now, Folks, I don't want to jinx anything, but it is really beginning to look like there may possibly be a small chance of sometime in the future consequences for former President Pepto-Abysmal. Because on Friday, Attorney General Merrick Garland named a special counsel to probe the former president. It's former federal prosecutor and General Zod's cousin, Jack Smith. Kneel before Smith! Jack Smith, if that is his real name, has a hell of a resume to take this assignment. He had to leave his current job at The Hague, where he investigated war crimes in Kosovo. So he's perfect to go after the ex-president. He already has experience dealing with disasters that peaked in the 90s. Smith is going to take over. Hey, remember the 90s? Smith is going to take over both the January 6th and the Mar-a-Lago documents case, and a lot of legal experts believe this means that the former president could be headed for trouble. They're not alone. Even before Smith was tapped, former Attorney General Bill Barr said this.
I personally think that they probably have the basis for legitimately indicting the president.
Well, I personally think I can't personally go through this again, Bill Barr. I had my heart broken before. By you, Bill Barr. After you redacted the Mueller report. Well, you can't redact my feelings. It's always Mueller time. In here. Now, that said, what time we got here? It's Mueller time. Mueller time. This news does make it seem like there's an indictment around the corner, and the former president had kind of a weird reaction, saying, I am not going to partake in it. I'm not going to partake in this. Oh, he doesn't want to partake. You know what? I'm no lawyer, but I didn't realize that was one of the options. The suspect does not want to partake in the investigation. Your Honor, while admittedly the prosecution does have overwhelming evidence of his guilt, my client pleads not feeling it. Now, former president did get some good news this weekend because on Saturday, Elon Musk reinstated his Twitter account. No. No, Elon, I won't go back. The racism, the misspelling, the calls to violence, the dot, dot, dots. Remember? Remember the dot, dot, dots? Remember the kofefe? I am not. I am not. You know what? I am not going to partake in it. Of course, Musk, ever the genius, approached the decision scientifically with a Twitter poll. The former president won with an overwhelming majority of 51.8%. Good enough for Musk, who announced the reinstatement with the Latin phrase vox populi, vox dei, which means the voice of the people is the voice of God. Well, I took a little pig Latin in college, so let me respond by saying, Uxe and Agbe of Ixde. So, Ixde. Ixne on the Ixde. So Musk goes, based on a 1.8% majority in a completely made-up poll riddled with bots, I'm super cool reinstating a maniac whose last tweet celebrated a violent coup attempt on Capitol Hill. And in return for that complete moral debasement, the former president said, no thanks. Look what he said, Elon.
He did put up a poll, and I hear it's very overwhelming, very strong, but I have something called Trump. If you look, it's Trump-owned, but it's really fantastic. Truth Social.
He couldn't even remember the name of his own failed online hate bucket. He's gotta be the worst huckster of all time. Ladies and gentlemen, step right up and sample Dr. What's my name? Dr. Doctorson's magic elixir. Guaranteed to give you or cure you stuff and things. Wait, come back. Did I mention it has mercury? Now, turning to our current president, today was the annual turkey pardon, a day when this country's most notorious turkey criminals walk free. Then walk around in circles, then bonk into a tree, and if it rains, they look up and they drown. They're very dumb. This year's, you know that, right? You can't leave turkeys outside because if it rains, they look up and they drown. Eating them is a mercy. No letters, please. Dear CBS, as a member of the turkey community, this year's. This year's lucky turkeys are chocolate and chip. And the president kicked it off by welcoming the folks who came to look at the confused birds.
It's a wonderful Thanksgiving tradition here at the White House. There's a lot to say about it, but it's chilly outside, so I'm going to keep this short. Nobody likes it when their turkey gets cold.
Yeah. Nobody likes turkey when it's cold. Who ever heard of a turkey sandwich? Ugh. Especially with a little cranberry sauce, some stuffing on there, eating at 1 a.m. while watching Forged in Fire with a dog. To his credit, the president did not hog the mic.
Anyway, do you want to talk?
He's doing turkey crowd work. All right, who here's from a factory farm? Raise your wing. Don't you hate it when they don't warm up the baster? Anyway, gobble, gobble, that's my set. Tip your handler. Yeah, it's always in there.
I see you.
This weekend, there were some other big events at the White House. Oh, on Sunday, President Biden celebrated his 80th birthday. Yes, give it up.
All right.
Happy birthday, sir. Remember, you're only as old as the number of years you have been alive, which is an unprecedented number for the job that you have. But you know what? I think his age is actually a strength at this point. The world is so crazy. I love having the stability and wisdom of those crowned with many winters. A man who has firsthand memories of bipartisanship, of a shared vision for America, of a time when ice came in wagons. This birthday makes Biden the oldest president in U.S. history. The youngest, of course, was President Baby Taft. Who can forget his campaign slogan, "More"? And, is this true? It's time for sport. Yesterday was the kickoff of the World Cup, a global phenomenon. It's been called the Super Bowl of football. Today, our boys on the U.S. men's national team took on Wales, and the winner was no one. They tied 1-1, which may sound boring, but it's fun in metric. This year, the tournament's being held in Qatar, a choice made by FIFA, which is, and I don't want to overstate this, the most corrupt organization in the history of the world. So much so. I got a little something. So much so that the U.S. Department of Justice says FIFA officials gave Qatar the hosting rights because they were bribed. And I'm sorry, I don't care who hears me. I'm going to stay up here on national television and say that about FIFA every night, unless it turns out that FIFA is a sponsor. Okay? No. Qatar is a bad choice for a lot of reasons. One, their average nighttime temperature is what meteorologists call the devil's grundle. Plus, they have an atrocious human rights record, and their laws make homosexuality illegal and punishable by up to 3 years in prison and severely curtail women's rights to marry, study, work, and travel. But that's all things. Explains their travel campaign for women. Sit quietly, visit Qatar. To try to cover their butts before the tournament, FIFA insisted that there wouldn't be any discrimination, saying, everyone will be welcome at the World Cup. But at the same time, Qatari officials warned LGBTQ soccer fans against public displays of affection and said people will not be permitted to go shirtless during matches or in public settings. No problem. I can't imagine anyone at a soccer game would ever go shirtless. They're just not. Oh, my. That messy? That was messy? They're not just anti-gay, they're anti-fun. Because after saying it would be fine to sell alcohol at the games, Qatar banned beer sales, leaving tournament sponsor Budweiser stuck with a massive warehouse full of beer, which it says will go to the winning country. Now, why would you ruin their celebration like that? We got a great show for you tonight.
Coming up, Daniel Craig.
Hey, everyone, it's David Duchovny. Do you ever feel like a failure? Trust me, I get it. Hell, I've spent my whole life almost feeling like a failure. It's appropriate, though, because on Fail Better, my new podcast with Lemonada Media, exploring the world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives, is the whole point. Each week, I'll chat with artists, athletes, actors, and experts about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, I hope we can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out on May 7th, wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, my first guest tonight is an actor you know from the James Bond films, Logan Lucky and Knives Out. He's back as Detective Benoit Blanc in Glass Onion, a Knives Out mystery.
This is just like the other ones, but I didn't send it to you.
How many of these boxes did you create?
5, one for each of my friends.
No test boxes, no prototypes.
My puzzle guy barely got the 5 done in time, and he apprenticed with Ricky Jay.
And once the boxes are open and the puzzle's complete, is there any way to close them again? To reset them?
Hang on. Someone reset the box. They sent it to you as a gag. Miles is doing a murder mystery. Let's invite Benoit freaking Blanc. Oh, it's so good.
I am mortified. I don't...
Why? I've got the predefinite detective in the world at my murder mystery party. That is so legit.
Please welcome back to The Late Show, Daniel Craig. Nice to see you again. Well, you caught me back here. I had a surprise for you. Would you care for a cocktail?
Sure.
There you go. I had an opportunity to interview you for the Montclair Film Festival recently.
Oh, Belvedere.
Recently.
That's,
Belvedere Vodka. Yeah. We'll get to that later. This is just a coincidence that it's here.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry. You don't have to dance for your cocktail around here.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You sure?
How do you take it? Do you take it with a little...
You have any soda?
Yeah, we have a little soda water right here.
A little lime.
A little soda and a little lime. Oh, yes. What do you call that drink again?
You call it a skinny peach.
I'm sorry. A what? I'm sorry. What, Daniel Craig? What do you call that drink?
I thought this was a safe space.
Oh, it is.
You call it a skinny bitch.
That's a skinny bitch, exactly what you are. Right. You skinny bitch. Here's your drink right now. Okay, right. I'll hit you with a little bit of that. Now,
thank you.
Here's the thing.
Do you have any ice?
We have ice. I'm not. Okay, don't worry. This is a full-service bar. Right. Now, when I was on cable, I didn't have ice, but I'm on network now. We can afford ice. Daily Show doesn't have ice. We got ice over here. Right. Now, here's the thing, is that I'm going to let you in on a little trade secret here.
Yeah.
I don't actually get a chance to watch all of the movies of the people who come on the show.
Right.
I know that's shocking to hear.
Right.
But I don't actually, not only have I seen Glass Onion, but I can't wait to see it again.
Okay.
That is, it's an incredibly entertaining, incredibly funny movie. Here's to it.
Here's to you. And to you.
There you go. So... Was it as fun to make as it looks? Because it really looks like a group of
is
friends.
Talking?
It was. You were a lightweight. There you go. Because it looks like you're really having a ton of fun doing a really good movie with a bunch of really great people.
When you stick those people in a room together, something's going to happen.
This cast, Norton, Catherine Hahn, Janelle Monáe, Kate Hudson, Leslie Odom Jr., and just an extraordinary number of cameos.
You know, unbelievable. And first off, Ryan wrote a very, very funny script, which is always a good place to start. And then if you throw in that talent into the room, then suddenly something magic happens. And we giggled a lot. Yes, we did.
What I like about the script is not only it's funny, like the first one is, it's even sillier, this one.
Yeah.
But what I love about a really good mystery like this is that everything, if you pay attention, everything you've paid attention to will pay off eventually in the movie.
It's incredibly wasted. It's incredibly generous. And I mean, that's Ryan, that's his character. But it bears watching again. I mean, I know everybody comes on this show and says, watch it twice, but it really does. If you watch it again, he lays all this groundwork. He puts in all of these Easter eggs, all of these things, and every single one of them pays off. So it's worth a second look.
The third Knives Out film has already been greenlit.
I'm going to get this one out first.
No, but it's already been greenlit before the second one has gone out. And I just want to point out what an extraordinary achievement that is. You were Bond, the most successful film franchise of all time, and then immediately afterwards have started another successful film franchise. I think it's you and Harrison Ford. Between Star Wars and Indiana Jones, I can't think of somebody else who anchored two franchises like that.
Well, I mean, if that's an incredible company to be in, but I count myself incredibly lucky, really. I mean, that's just, I had nearly 20 years of just the most extraordinary experiences on Bond with the best people in the business and just, you know, wonderful, wonderful things that I will remember for the rest of my life. And I turn around and Rian Johnson offers me Knives Out. I mean, How lucky am I?
You don't get blown up so much in these movies.
There's less blowing up.
Is it more fun to do one of these films or a Bond film?
Oh, they're both just as fun. In different ways, yes, they are.
That really sounds you're still under contract to the Bond people. They're both just wonderful.
They're
and
great.
Velvet or vodka is delicious.
It's a living, Stephen.
Compare doing these two movies. How
I will
compare.
There we go. Thank you.
Compare these two movies.
That's better. I know. Excuse me. Yes, I don't get hurt as much. What can I say? I mean, I don't. Mm-hmm. It's less bruising to do Knives Out.
I'm just waiting for you to finish the question. No, the glass onion, the actual title of the movie, a Knives Out film. But Glass Onion, it's the third song on the White Album.
Yep.
You're from Liverpool.
That's right.
How important were the Beatles to you growing up? He said, knowing the answer.
I mean, it's very difficult to escape the Beatles if you grew up in and around Liverpool, as I did. So they're part of your DNA. I mean, they're kind of the first music you really listen to.
Did you grow up with people who knew them?
My dad was at the same school as John Lennon, but then everybody's dad said that.
We have to take a quick break.
Right.
We'll be right back with more Daniel Craig, everybody. Stick around.
I'm Rachel Martin. After hosting Morning Edition for years, I know that the news can wear you down. So we made a new podcast called Wild Card, where a special deck of cards and a whole bunch of fascinating guests help us sort out what makes life meaningful. It's part game show, part existential deep dive, and it is seriously fun. Join me on Wildcard, wherever you get your podcasts. Only from NPR.
That's Daniel Craig, the star of Glass Onion, a Knives Out mystery. Thanksgiving week here, you and your lovely wife, Rachel Weisz, both American citizens now.
We are.
And good luck for us.
Yeah.
And congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Do you do the Thanksgiving? Do you understand Thanksgiving? Because you've got kids that are old enough now to start hearing the pilgrim stories and stuff like that.
I do understand Thanksgiving. It's about giving thanks, as far as I understand.
Ha-ha.
I knew there would be tough questions.
Exactly. have you celebrated? You've been in the States for a long time.
I have, and we do celebrate it. And in fact, I have American friends as well, so I've celebrated.
You have American friends?
I imagine. And so we've celebrated. I've celebrated for quite a long time. Yeah, I do. I think it's probably my favorite holiday.
But I want to ask something about. It is a good one. It is a good one because it is like it is non-denominational. It's just giving it, going out and giving thanks.
It feels that way. Yeah.
And you get a chance to say that to everybody at the table.
Yeah.
Do you? We're talking about Thanksgiving dishes before the show with some of the audience members.
Right.
Do you have a go-to, or do you like do you bring something over from the old country, or is it all just sort of American pumpkin every course?
Not so good with the fixings and things. I'm not...
Really? You don't like the cranberry sauce?
Oh, cranberry sauce, I can.
Cranberry sauce? Yes. How do you feel about stuffing?
I think it's an abomination.
Have you seen English food?
I have. I grew up. But
you guys have savory puddings.
We do have savory puddings.
I will not take culinary critique from a country that has a kidney pie.
A steak,
but it's so fragrantly of urine.
Steak and kidney pie.
Steak and kidney pie. Okay, yeah. Try to disguise the organ meats in there. So what do you have against stuffing? It's just wet bread that you mix with herbs.
And stuff
and
up the ass of a chicken. A turkey.
Either one. Yeah, either one. You can delicious. Stuff it up the ass of a chicken if you want.
I think it should be cooked separately and just, it's good, but I don't think you should bring it anywhere near the bird.
But if you don't put it in the bird, you don't get that trickle of salmonella into... So what is it, the consistency?
That's what the gravy's
like?
For. I don't think it need, you need it. I don't... It's too complicated. It's just like, let's eat the...
Getting it's the too complicated to put wet bread inside a bird.
Yes, it is for me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yeah. I will admit that it's a little disturbing. It feels disturbing when you're doing it. I mean... If you're doing it right.
If you're doing it right.
You have... This is wrong. This is wrong.
This is wrong.
I can't let you go. I can't let you go without talking about the thing that people are so excited about right now. And, you know, not a sponsor of my show, but the good people at Belvedere Vodka hired you just to follow you in your natural habitat.
Yes.
Just doing what you naturally do.
I get up to.
Enjoying some vodka. Yeah.
That's how I check into a hotel.
And here it is, Jim. It always looks like you're having more fun than everybody else.
Oh, well, you know, it's...
Taika Waititi directed
he
that.
He did, yes.
What's your dance background, Dan?
I have nil.
You have nil? You have none?
Nil, none.
So where'd you get those hot moves, Dan?
Taika said, can you dance? I went, not really. So we just got one of the best choreographers around, a guy called Jaquel Knight, who just basically loosened me up, because I can't count. So
what do you mean you can't count?
Well, it's quite important in dancing sometimes to be able to count and know when to come in and just sort of like that. So he just shouted at me, go! And I kind of, loosen up! Let me see those hips! And it was kind of like, that was it, basically.
Nothing makes you loosen up more than someone screaming, loosen up! No. Let me see those hips! Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you've got a fallback position now.
Thank goodness. It's taken me long enough to find one.
Daniel, lovely to see you again.
It's
cheers.
Lovely to see you.
There you go. Yeah. My best to your wife. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Glass Onion and Knives Out Mystery will be in theaters for only 1 week, starting this Wednesday, and premieres on Netflix December 23rd. Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
Enjoying this episode of The Late Show Pod Show? Then head to cohst.app/lateshow or visit the link in the description to fill out our quick 2-minute survey all about getting to know you.
Call Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar: Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar: Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.